Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Libertarians have been moving to New Hampshire. It's a particular group called Free Staters, and they are responding to a call in 2016 for 20,000 like-minded people to move into the state over 5 years. They've caused political stir, they've caused political controversy in New Hampshire, and this week, NBC 10 Boston airs the last of an 11-part docuseries on the Free Staters. It's called Free Staters, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of New Hampshire. It's a deep dive into the Free State movement just north of us. It's fascinating. It's scary. It's funny. It's real. And with us here in the studio, Allison King and Shira Stoll. Allison is a political reporter. Shira is a video producer, both for NBC 10 Boston. Shira, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Allison, good to see you again.
You as well.
All right, I have questions. Many questions. But I'm just going to start with, how did you even come across this story in the first place, Allison?
So, you know, I've been covering politics for a long time, spent a lot of time up in New Hampshire, and I kind of heard about the Free Staters over the years. Free State this, oh, that's a Free State that, and I just kind of, yeah, whatever. And then last spring, I heard that the town of Croydon, the small rural town of Croydon, had cut its school budget by 50%. And it's because a Free Stater put out this proposal, and it was on a day where very few people showed up for town meeting, and lo and behold, it passed. So I thought that's kind of interesting. There's that Free Staters again. And then I heard they were putting a secession bill through the State House, and I thought, that's really? And so we started to sort of, I started to show up in Croydon and we checked out what was going on there and we found out, wow, this is a really big story and we need to cover this.
All right. So you've just laid out a bunch of the stuff that I want to talk about, including Shira at the end. What was it like to cover this? Were they cooperative, et cetera? I do want to start, though, by kind of setting up for listeners so they can follow this journey with us, who the Free Staters are. And I'm going to start with just a little bit of sound here.
The Free State Project is simply about getting people who believe in freedom and limited government to move to New Hampshire.
We are the live free or die state.
We all agree on the one important thing, which is non-aggression principle. Don't hurt people, don't take their stuff.
Don't hurt people, don't take their stuff.
We believe in economic freedom, personal freedom. We want government to be as local as possible.
I just want lower taxes, smaller government, more individual freedom.
And that is, Shira, a number of people, including Jason Sorens in episode one there, who are kind of the characters that you're following. That's a summary, right?
Right.
You put it together, so I guess. Yeah. But does it capture everything you want people to understand about what a Free Stater is?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something really actually important to know about the Free Staters. They tend to be put in this box. Oh, Free Staters, and they want this, and they want that. The reality is that there's a whole spectrum of people that are in the Free State Project movement. I mean, some of them do want no government and they want to secede. Some of them don't. Some of them want smaller government. I think that that's really been the one thing that does kind of bind them together. They're sort of the two. One is smaller government, and then two is this non-aggression principle. Don't hurt people, don't take their stuff. And it's sort of that fundamental libertarian idea that they've all that they feel like sort of binds them all together, that they abide by those things.
And I want to stay with the libertarian word, Allison, for a minute to kind of, especially because, I mean, you've been covering politics long enough to see the Tea Party, to see Occupy, right? To see the various manifestations of pushes for small government, et cetera. Explain where we are with libertarianism and libertarianism in New Hampshire right now.
Well, I mean, libertarianism nationally, and this is why Jason Sorens started this whole thing as a Yale grad student 20 years ago, have not made a lot of traction. There's pockets of them around the country. They're very active and passionate about what they believe, but they don't have the numbers in any particular state around the country. And his whole notion was, if we all gather in one state, we'll have that political clout where we'll actually be able to make a difference and have this libertarian utopia we're hoping for. But there is that big L libertarian, the party, and there's the small L libertarian, which is you have these libertarian ideals, you believe in, you know, lesser government, lower taxes, and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I think that they, in New Hampshire, they have definitely, New Hampshire tends to be a libertarian-leaning state anyway, live free or die on their license plate. and their motto. But it's still a definitely a minority type of party or type of group of people, I should say. But they are building in numbers.
All right. So, and just briefly, back to you, Shira. I guess I want to really mark for listeners. Part of the reason we're talking about libertarianism and Free Staters and New Hampshire is Jason Sorens, who first in a manifesto that kind of took on a life of its own, suggested, what if we could get 20,000 sort of libertarian-ish, like-minded people all to move to a state in 5 years, throw it down, be here within the next 5 years, see what we can do. Yep. And that actually kind of happened, and they picked New Hampshire, and in 2016 they said, on your mark, get set, go.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, they actually, so they voted on a state. There were 11, I think 10 or 11 that they were debating between, and New Hampshire wound up winning. And they've been, they've been moving there. I will say that they're estimated about like 6,000 to 7,000. We're not really 100% sure how many are in the state. But for New Hampshire, which is a low population state.
About 1.5 million people.
Like, I mean, you know, they're still making some progress, even if there aren't, they haven't reached that 20,000 goal. They are getting, you know, elected into the state house, and they have put forward some bills. So they are making traction, even if they are still kind of small right now.
We're talking with Shira Stoll and Allison King of NBC 10 Boston about an 11-part docuseries on Free Staters in New Hampshire, the last portion, episode 11, which I saw aired this week. Okay, so now I want to dive into who this group is a little bit more. Kind of, we're in the how it started phase. We will get to the how it's going phase, which we'll get to Croydon, we'll get to Succession, et cetera. But I want to stay here a little bit longer. And this is a little sound from two attendees at a thing called Porkfest.
I mean, it's kind of like Christian camp with harder drugs.
You have a bunch of people walking around heavily armed and trading pot brownies. People think that's impossible, but it's here, and nobody gets shot, and nobody overdoses. It really is this magical little place for a week.
So, so Porkfest because of the porcupine, which I'd like a little more understanding of, and it is this interesting meeting of what would stereotypically be considered very liberal. For example, you know, sort of free-ranging community, lots of drugs, et cetera, and what stereotypically would be considered very conservative, which is, I'm going to open carry and keep your hands off my guns. So how do you make sense of this place?
Yeah, it's, and this is where I go back to the spectrum. It's really wide, you know, group of different types of people. There, you know, I kind of went into it thinking originally, these are conservative people. They're probably Trumpers. They're probably people, you know, guns and... The reality is they're not. They don't like Trump or Biden. They are very broad political spectrum, and they basically, it's that lesser government issue. And you know why the porcupine? The porcupine's a non-aggressive animal, but if you go at it, it will come back at you hard.
And it does hurt a lot.
So, and I'm going to let Shira talk about Porkfest because she was there for three days.
Yeah, we spent 3 days there.
We spent three days there, Dan Farragan and I, who's the other producer. And so Porcupine Freedom Festival, so Porkfest, P-O-R-C, Porcupine Freedom Festival, it's... So that was actually sort of the first time that we had met Free State Project members. So we, our first two interviews were actually Jason Sorens and Xandra Rice Hawkins, who is the executive director of Granite State Progress. And she's sort of tracking the Free Staters and a little worried about it.
And she's the counterpoint in your documentary series.
Exactly. And so the third thing that we went to was Porkfest, and that's where we met people. And, you know, we were going up there and we weren't really sure what to expect because, you know, all we knew was that they didn't like the government and they probably didn't like the media. And we knew that they were probably going to have guns. And so we weren't really sure what to expect. But it wound up really being this, you know, just a festival where they just let loose. They're able to, everybody just kind of, you know, they abide by this non-aggression principle. People leave out like a $100 bill and nobody touches it kind of thing. But they also—
Don't hurt anyone, don't steal anyone's stuff.
Exactly. Don't hurt anyone, don't steal their stuff. They play kickball. They have talks where they talk about, you know, whether it's politics or they just have like a karaoke event or something. It's just a festival where they're, you know, enjoying
freedom. Almost to a person, they talk about how They came to this festival, and for the first time in their lives, they found their people. Yep. They were comfortable. They found community.
So I want to stay there because there's this interesting tension, right? Especially episode two, where you lay out Porkfest. I want to introduce us here to Julian, and I hope I pronounce his last name right, Aciard, one of the very few people of color in the docuseries. He's interviewed at Porkfest. He's wearing a T-shirt that says, "All gun control is racist."
The foundation of gun control was to stop freed slaves from seeking repercussions against their slave owners. Honestly, more guns means more freedom.
And he's an interesting juxtaposition there, both because we're increasingly aware, we've talked about this a little bit, but not a lot on Radio Boston, about the move towards black gun ownership in America, but also because this is a white movement, Shira, to look at this documentary series. We see Julian, we see mostly white people, lots of white men, and it is an interesting look at that idea that if you take a lot of regulation and government away, it's gonna work out for you. Well, historically, that's been true for white people. So I wonder where race kind of mixed into your exploration of the identity of this group.
I do want to, I want to push on that a little because it's not a white movement, I would say. It is more diverse than what we show in the film. I have to say that working on this, a lot of Free Staters are very hesitant to speak to the media. And we noticed that actually a lot of Free Staters of color were hesitant to speak to the media.
So I'm glad I asked.
So I do want to say that, yes, we did interview about 90 people for this documentary on all sides, you know, people who are involved, people who support it, people who don't. But yeah, I will say that we had a hard time getting a lot of people to talk to us and open up about it because they are very hesitant about, hesitant to speak to the media.
So, Allison, I'll ask one more question, then we'll take a quick pause. What else? Why? Why are they? I mean, we're all media. Why did people not want to talk to the media?
Oh, gosh. I think they feel like they've been misrepresented for decades, the libertarian movement, that they've been pigeonholed as this is what they want to do, this, they want to do that. So they just avoid the media altogether. I do think that they basically, it took us a long time to sort of earn trust with some of these people to get them to talk to us and open up. I think that you just can't, I think not pigeonholing them in any way, shape, or form is just really an important part of all this to keep in mind.
Allison King and Shira Stoll of NBC 10 Boston are still with us as we talk about the docuseries they've created called Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of New Hampshire, about the Free State Movement in New Hampshire. Allison, I'll turn back to you now. When I asked you how you found out about the story, one of the first things that you brought up was a small town called Croydon and the school district there and the fact that when not a lot of people were paying attention, I don't mean that nefariously, that's just the fact. At a meeting, there was a proposal that passed to reduce the original school budget by 54%. I've got a little sound here from Ian Underwood, who sort of got that going.
This is the discussion I was hoping to have. I didn't actually believe that the thing would pass at the time. I just wanted to have a big discussion, and then it did pass. And then I'm like, well, it's kind of like the dog who caught the car. Now what do I do with it?
And it did pass 20 to 13. Then there's a fight in the town to try to get it pulled back. Here's Amanda Leslie, who's an English teacher in Croydon that you guys call a concerned New Hampshire resident.
They want to dismantle public education, defund it to the point where it's up to parents to pay to educate their kids.
And a little more from Amanda Leslie here.
We all are so busy, and it's easy to become complacent, but I think this showed that you can't trust necessarily that the people who are elected or appointed are going to operate in good faith.
So, wow. I mean, just a whole microcosm of how towns work there.
Well, it was, you know, these are towns that have town meeting, good old-fashioned New England town meeting. Typically, very few people show up. Let's face it. I mean, all of us who work and have kids, we, you know, a lot of us do not go to our local school board meeting. And this is what happened. And, you know, one of the things that kind of came out of this is that if you care about where your community's going, don't assume that everyone in your community feels the way you do. When Ian Underwood said, gee, I didn't know this was going to happen, it wasn't because he didn't want it to happen. He wanted it to. He just thought, wow, this, I just threw this against the wall and now we have to deal with it. But, you know, I think that was a key theme of this whole thing is the importance of being involved and knowing what's going on in your community.
So that brings up an interesting point, too, Shira, which is, you know, Allison just said it's not that Ian didn't want it to happen. He just didn't think it would happen. Mm-hmm. And we heard from Amanda there this growing sense that a town member thinks something nefarious is going on with the Free Staters. And then we see, actually technically in the docuseries, we see first the move towards secession and a bill that goes before the state legislature, which also seems to be a moment that puts the Free State movement at real loggerheads with both Democrats and Republicans in New Hampshire.
Yes, and just real quick before we move to secession, I just want to go back. I mean, Ian Underwood didn't expect it to pass, but he, you know, he had it very thought out. I mean, he brought in a pamphlet with written information about how this could work, why it was important, the correlation between, you know, education and the amount of money that you would spend. So I think it is interesting to, or important to just put that out there, that it wasn't like, I'm just going to cut the budget because we want lower taxes and just, you know, see what happens. He was really, you know, his point was that, well, education's not getting any better here. So, you know, what if we, why spend more money? Exactly. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Okay. And briefly pick up the secession piece as well.
Yes. So, so in January, a bunch of Free Staters got together. They wrote a bill to propose secession. Now, not that we should vote on if New Hampshire should secede. It's that it should be on the ballot to let New Hampshire residents decide if they should secede or not. So basically leaving it up to the people of New Hampshire, hey, is, you know, government working for you? Do you want to become your own country? If yes, you know, let's secede. And if not, let's not. It was not, but I think that maybe that had, when you say secession, it's a scary word. I mean, you know, breaking up the United States creates a lot of chaos. And putting that on the ballot could, if people did vote for it, obviously, you know, create something pretty crazy.
So,
yeah.
Allison, what I found myself thinking, both in watching it and listening to the two of you now, is this emerging feel as the docuseries goes on that it is not clear who is sort of, what's the word, operating in good faith and who's not in terms of lots of arguments from the Free Staters. Hey, we just want the voters to be able to decide. Lots of real fear from others saying, no, you don't just want the voters to decide. You are trying to come in, take over our state and force us to do something we don't want to do. And then we get to the end and you introduce this whole set of concepts that is, listen, this is what's happening with everybody. You've got these big political streams and then lots of people on a wide spectrum, like you said already twice, Allison, right, who exist in it. So, in the end, live and let live, there's something nefarious going on here. We don't really know kind of how did you find yourself feeling as it was coming to a close?
Yeah. So, I mean, by the way, we really made an intentional we intentionally did not want to put our thumb on the scale on this in any way, shape or form. So a lot of people, you know, say, well, those are the crazy, wacky people. What was it like? You know what? We just said, you tell your story and we'll hear from both sides on this. I feel like, you know, there is an anarchist element of the Free Staters. It's not the broad majority of them, I would say. But I think that some people go right to some of the anarchists who get in the faces of people and want to secede. And I'm not sure that's the fairest representation of the Free State. But for sure, if you're someone who believes in a thriving public school system and that government is there to help people out and to be there as a safety net, and yes, then the Free State is a threat to what you believe. So it's really about where you come from.
So, Shira, I'm going to play one more piece of sound for you here. This is Jason Sorens, who's sort of the founder of the Free State movement again.
So far, I would say the Free State Project has exceeded my initial expectations because I didn't actually expect that it would work. I didn't actually expect that anyone would move. I hoped that it would happen, but I thought that this probably won't work, but it has a better chance of working than anything else that I see out there.
So what do you guys watch now? What do you watch for now?
What will happen next?
Yeah. What's the big question that you are left with after 11 episodes of this docuseries.
I want to know what happens in 20 years. I mean, the last, the ending, the last maybe 2 minutes of it is the Free Staters say, I want a Free State governor. I want a Free State this. There's going to be, you know, elections where you have a Free State Democrat running against a Free State Republican, running against a Free State Libertarian. And then you have Xandra on the other side saying, I hope that this is a blip on the radar, you know, just a random reference in a history book. I mean, and I want to know what happens. I'm so curious to know. And literally the last line of the film is, you know, it's up to people to make up their own minds.
And I feel like we're in a tipping point. And I think the next few years are really going to tell whether this is going to sort of fade off into the sunset or whether their numbers are going to grow. And I think they haven't had a great year between secession, Croydon, Gunstock. They've lost those battles. We'll see where it goes.
All right. Allison King, Shira Stoll, the team behind NBC10's docuseries, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of New Hampshire. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.